Have you guys ever tried explaining football to a little kid? It's almost impossible to make it make sense. I've got two kids myself, and they're always like, Dad, what's this thing on TV for your work? When can we watch some Paw Patrol? Well, meet Future Fans, an innovative brand that helps little kids become big fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. The way they teach is super unique and effective. As an example, they have this beanbag toss game with four tries to teach downs in football. I tried it with my kids. They love it. And later they connect those games back to the sport itself through a storybook. Seriously, check out the reviews on this thing. They have 4.9 stars on Amazon. Imagine your kid asking to watch on Sundays with you or being right there alongside you for all the ups and downs with your favorite team. That's what dreams are made of right there. And Future Fans exists to make that a reality. If you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. And it's only $49.99 right now. Use the code MMQB at futurefans.com to get 10% off and unlock a lifetime of memories starting now. That's $49.99. Use the code MMQB at futurefans.com.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Free Agency Week here on the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast. I'm Matt Verderam alongside Gilberto Manzano, as always. And we are coming to you on Thursday, March 14th at about 3:05 Central, 4 o'clock Eastern. And there's a lot to get to because there's a lot happening right as we're going live here. There was a report that Arik Armstead was going to the Jags. Then he was going to the Bills. Then he was going to the Jags. Turns out he went to the Jags. Sam Howell traded to the Seahawks from the Commanders. There's a pick swap involved there as well. So that punctuates, at least at this point, what has been a very, very busy week. Gilberto, what's going on, man? How are you?
I don't know. I'm a little disappointed. I thought the NFL was going to be quiet for an hour for us to get together and do a podcast and revisit everything that happened Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But here we are on a, I guess for me, on a Thursday afternoon. You're on the Midwest, so a little later. But yeah, Sam Howell and Arik Armstead on the move. So I guess it's not quiet just yet for the frenzy.
So we've seen at this point most of the major moves in free agency. Obviously, there are still some guys out there, but most of the guys who are notable names, we've seen them at this point, come off the board. Of all the moves, what is your favorite signing? What is your least favorite signing?
Man, it's tough because, like, you know, I want to like the Saquon Barkley signing to the Eagles, but then I'm like, the money, the age, the injury history. Like, it could be a fun, you know, offense there with, Jalen Hurts, and obviously I know Jason Kelce, but AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. So I do like it, but in a way, it's, you know, kind of like my least favorite signing for in terms of the money and the player they're getting at this caliber. And you know, I think, you know, it was interesting to see how that running back market is going to be because they finally got let go. You know, no more franchise tag. Okay, what are you worth now? But you're a year older, more wear and tear on the body. So, you know, that was a big contract that the Eagles gave up, and I wanted to see the Eagles kind of focus a little more also, like, on the defensive side. Yeah, maybe C.J. Gardner-Johnson could help out your secondary, but you have probably the worst linebacker group in the NFL, and you haven't really done anything. Then you take a chance on Bryce Huff, who I also want to like the move, but like he wasn't a full-time starter with the Jets. So maybe I'll give you a combo in terms of the bad ones for the Eagles. And then one that I actually really liked, and maybe the Raiders overspent for Christian Wilkins. I don't know if Christian Wilkins is a top five player at his position, but he's very good, you know, productive player, yes. Versatile run stopper, pass rusher. So, you know, sometimes you got to ask yourself, and I think I brought this up last week, it's like, why is the player on the open market? And you got to, you know, is it a red flag, age, you know, production, injury history? And I think with Christian Wilkins, it's more like, you know what? The Dolphins messed up the salary cap. They went all in. And what did they get for it? I guess a snow game or a nice game in Kansas City, get their butts whooped. And now you got to kind of, you know, pay the bills. So Christian Wilkins with Max Crosby, with coaches like Patrick Graham and Antonio Pierce, I really like that move in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's an interesting move, and I'm with you. Like, I love the player. The money's going to be, you know, it's a lot of money, but it's always a lot of money for top guys in free agency, and Wilkins is one of the top guys. You know, I think there were a handful of moves that I saw that I said, you know what, I like that. In fact, one of them was, I really like what the Vikings did on defense, and I know they lost Cousins, so I get it. Like, they have a massive hole to fill there, and it doesn't matter what they did on defense if they don't fill it at quarterback. And I don't want to hear Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's not the answer. But I like Jonathan Greenard coming over. He's a young guy, 4 years, $76 million, really like a two-year deal. And he had 12.5 sacks last year. Like, he was a nice piece for Houston. That's ironic that Danielle Hunter ended up going to Houston. So it's almost like they swapped edge rushers. I love Andrew Van Ginkle. I think he's a really good player. Again, Miami just capped out to the hilt. Could not keep him. I like him quite a bit. I think he'll be good there under Brian Flores. Of course, they spent time together in Miami. They know each other. He knows that defense. And I like Blake Cashman, also coming over from Houston, in that front seven. I think Minnesota did a good job with the defense. I really do. I like what they did a lot. They got younger. They kind of spread that money around that they were going to have to give to Hunter if they want to keep him. So I like that move. Or those moves, I should say. On the flip side, the Gabe Davis move, I just don't get it. I don't get it. You're Jacksonville, and you couldn't stop a nosebleed last year. I mean, teams threw the ball relentlessly on Jacksonville. And your answer to that was to immediately give him a three-year, $33 million contract, up to $50 million in incentives. Now, I don't mind the money. Like, the money's not – a 3-33 with some incentives, fine. I don't care. But it's just the use of resources I don't understand with Trent Baalke. And I love the Mitch Moore signing. So like, it's not like I thought they had a flat-out atrocious free agency period. It's one of my favorite signings. But the Gabe Davis signing, the guy couldn't crack 1,000 yards for 4 years with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. And now he's going to do it in Jacksonville? I'm not a fan of the signing. I'm not – like the players, he's fine. But to me, if you're going to give that kind of money – for a guy of that talent, like, why not just go draft somebody in a year that's loaded at the position? You don't even have to draft him in the first round. You take the guy in the second round. And then the other one, which ironically is tied to Jacksonville, but is a contract I laud them for not signing, Calvin Ridley. That's an insane amount of money. I'm sorry. And I remember being at the Combine, there was all this talk about, hey, you know, Tennessee and you know, people around the Titans. It was like, hey, got to get playmakers, got to get faster. And hey, I understand that. I get that they wanted to build around Will Levis. I know they brought in Tony Pollard, of course, to replace Derrick Henry. And I'm with all that. However, like, 4 years, $92 million for Calvin Ridley? He's going to be 30 this season. That seems like a move that is going to be one of those, like, hey, how long until they can cut Calvin Ridley and get out of that money? I like the player. I really do, but not at that price. Not anywhere near that price. I thought maybe he'd get 18 a year, something like that, you know, 3-54. 4-92 is a healthy number.
Yeah, Matt, and just to go off of the Calvin Ridley signing, like I wanted to like the Tennessee Titans, you know, free agency. Yeah, they're spending, you know, a lot of money, but you kind of have to with that roster. And then, but they were building through the trenches. You got Cushion Bear, the best center on the market. You mentioned a couple guys, Tony Pollard, too. So yeah. I liked it. And then they overspent for Calvin Ridley. And I'm like, all right, let me see if I could like this move. And I'm like, okay, physical receiver, could go downfield, a little older. Wait, don't they have DeAndre Hopkins? He kind of does the same thing. You got D-Hop it with that. So maybe you could have used that money somewhere else. Maybe you could draft a wide receiver. Maybe show, you know, ran a cart down that you could draft a wide receiver. They haven't got it right since A.J. Brown left. And it's a similar contract. Remember, everybody's making that joke. A.J. Brown, you know, essentially being the same contract, a little pricier, but he's 3 years younger. You would definitely pay that. So I don't get what's going on with Calvin Ridley. But and then it was a little strange with the scenario, too, Matt, with obviously with the Jaguars having to wait till Wednesday. They don't want to give up that second round pick. And I wonder if that kind of, you know, affected them with the Gabe Davis. You know what, Gabe Davis, we'll splurge a little bit, but we like the trio of Calvin Ridley, Gabe Davis, and Christian Kirk, and then that kind of went to flame. So overall, it's an interesting scenario, but Calvin Ridley, he cashed in pretty big, but I don't know what the Tennessee Titans were doing for a player that age. And also, was up and down in Jacksonville, couldn't get on the same page with Trevor Lawrence. He did step up towards the end, they all got hurt, and they lost a bunch of games, but he played well. But for the most part, you know, chemistry, being on the same page, some drops were an issue last year.
Yeah, he was fine. He was good last year. It wasn't great. Certainly not $92 million worth. One team that is doing nothing is Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I can't say that we're surprised because Dak didn't get his contract extended, at least not to this point. And so they were really up against the cap-wise. But now we've seen Tony Pollard leave. Tyron Smith is still out there as a free agent, but it's expected that he's going to leave. Stephon Gilmore, same situation as Tyron Smith. They have not added in any way to that roster while letting some other, Dorrance Armstrong goes to Washington. How do you feel about the Cowboys? Well, obviously had a good year last year until the playoffs and then completely fell off the face of the earth. How do you feel about where they stand now as we are sitting here, 4 days essentially at the free agency?
Part of me wants to criticize the Cowboys for the only move they're making is Eric Kendricks. I guess, they changed his mind, Mike Zimmer over Brandon Staley with the 49ers. Right. So I guess that was the only thing they had. But, I guess at some point, maybe Jerry Jones is finally saying, Dak Prescott, we've done enough for you. We've built the roster. We've paid you a couple times. We're not going to change the contract. It's, pretty much 1 year. Go prove it. Whatever roster just comes from this free agency, we're going to draft maybe. It's not a bad thing to also focus on the draft, too. So, obviously they're not, building up the roster, but I kind of like it in a sense. It is a lot of money to tap to one player. One player hasn't proven much in the playoffs. I get that. But maybe at some point it's saying, let's let the contract expire or at least get to, the final year. If you could prove it and you make it work, then we'll pay you. And then we're going to have some, cap space because we're going to move the money around. So I'm sure they could have approached it a different way, Matt. I'm not that cap savvy, I guess. Maybe you are, studying the over the cap and spot rack the whole entire week. But, that's a lot of money for one player. But in a sense, I get why it's kind of do or die time. And it's a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott. And maybe it's going to be beneficial for both parties.
I don't mind that they didn't extend Prescott. I get it. I get the thought process of saying, hey, look, we're not going to go down this road and give you 4 and 240, and at this point, you got to go out and win some playoff games. You got to do some stuff. I have no problem with that. I honestly don't. I have no problem with them handling that way. I would say this though, you're gonna do anything to get better because you got waxed in the wild card round. You got absolutely waxed, and CeeDee Lamb needs an extension at some point soon here. And Micah Parsons, who is going to reset the defensive mark. He's going to be the highest paid player in NFL history on the defensive side. You got to pay these guys. And so my whole thing is, if you're not all in on Dak, then here's a suggestion. Be aggressive in the draft and go trade go get a quarterback. Go draft one. Because if you are this unsure of who Dak Prescott is at this point in his career, then guess what? There's your answer. It's like your buddy who dates a girl for 4 years and is 32 years old. He's like, yeah, I don't know. I can't figure out if she's the one. Bro, I got news for you. She's not the one. If you haven't figured it out by now, you're not ever going to figure it out. And to this point with Dak, I think we tend to think of him as a younger guy. Dak is going to be 31 years old in July. 31. He's been there as their starter for 8 years now. You know what he is. You know who he is. At some point, if you're that non-committal on him going forward, which fine. I'm not blaming them for not committing to him. But if that's where you're sitting, then I think it's probably time to just say, hey, look, we need to move forward here. And Trey Lance, I'm sorry, that's not the answer. Okay, like, let's just stop that. I've had a couple Cowboys fans in my mentions on Twitter, but hey, you know, we got Trey Lance. That's nice. Maybe move up. You know, you're drafting in the low 20s. Like, if I'm the Cowboys, and I'm not saying he will or he won't be there, but if Michael Penix Jr. is sitting there, I'm taking him. That's what I'm doing. And I'm playing Dak for one more year, and then I'm tagging him and I'm trading him. That's it. That's what I would do. Like, I don't see the upside in this for Dallas, because to me, if they don't improve, which seems like it's going to be hard to, unless they nail this draft, like really nail it, they're not winning the Super Bowl with this team. They couldn't win a playoff game last year. And in years prior, yeah, they've had seasons where they've won one, and then they've lost in divisionals. Like, what is the ceiling? You know what I mean? Like, what is the end game here? Hey, we got to the divisional round. Who cares? You know, so I just think Dallas is starting to get passed by some of these teams, and it might be time for a little bit of a sea change.
Yeah, and maybe we could transition here to Kirk Cousins, but to kind of make a comparison, yeah. It's like the Vikings tried it for 6 years with Kirk Cousins, you know, paying him the money, the fully guaranteed 3 years and a couple of short-term deals, yeah. And that was
you
probably better.
Playoff game.
Yeah, so same thing. So, you know, sometimes you got to say enough is enough. We got to pull the plug here. And I know the Vikings wanted to keep Kirk Cousins, and they're like, you know what, there's a number on the line. We're not going to, you know, mess with that because, again, one playoff victory. So I'm all for paying a star quarterback, you know, obviously like a Patrick Mahomes that wins in the playoffs, or Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. You know, and it's okay to pay him, you know, that contract, but after 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 years, like you mentioned, Matt, and you still haven't proven it in the postseason, it's time to get that rookie contract. And sometimes I don't like when people say, you got to get the rookie contract. Like, it's not better than a star quarterback, but at some point, you got to start the cycle again, and you got to go find a quarterback. So maybe, like, your approach is, you know, keep Dak for that one more year for the pressure year. If he does something, good. If he doesn't, draft that quarterback in the first or second round, and then you have some more options. And, yeah, maybe we'll see Trey Lance in the preseason, but who knows after that.
Yeah, and to your point, we can move on to Cousins, because that was obviously the biggest signing of the entire period, and we shouldn't bury that lead too far down the line here. Really interesting move by Atlanta. So it's 4 years, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed. That is a team with talent. Pretty good defense. New coach, obviously, and Raheem Morris coming in there. An interesting group. An interesting team. Because you have Kyle Pitts. You have Drake London. You have Bijan Robinson. You know, you've got the line with some studs on it, like Chris Lindstrom. Like, you've got a pretty interesting team. In a division that's, I think, fair to say it's pretty wide open. Unless you're the Panthers, in which case it's not wide open. It's a risk because you're paying a guy in his mid-30s, $100 million guaranteed coming off of torn Achilles. At the same point, Kirk Cousins is not Lamar Jackson, and I'm not too worried about that Achilles flaring up when he tries to run for 30 yards here. Like, if it's just reasonably, you know, like, well repaired, I think he'll be able to hold up and throw the ball and play the way he normally plays. I actually like the move for the Falcons. Now, I don't love it because I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. And to me, it's like, isn't that kind of the point of this whole thing? So I don't love it. But they had to get out of this cycle from hell with Taylor Heineke and Desmond Ridder and all these guys who just flat can't play anymore, man. Like the corpse of Matt Ryan and Marcus Mariota. Like those guys, it was just over. None of those guys can play at any reasonable level. So I like the move, even at the money. Do you like the move?
Yeah, you know, actually, the more moves that I see the Falcons make, the more I like it, because they're going to benefit Kirk Cousins. And, you know, I'll start with this. It seems like Raheem Morris, he went into his office and he made a to-do list. Okay, what did Arthur Smith do wrong? And let me do that better and fix it. No quarterback? Okay, we'll get one of Kirk Cousins. No depth behind Drake London, wide receiver. Maybe he can't use Kyle Pitts properly. Oh, get a Darnell Mooney, or maybe, you know, sign a Ray McLeod, or even go trade for a Rondale Moore. So a lot of speed. So, you know, they're going to be, like, obviously a top target, but you needed more depth behind Drake London. And are we even sure Drake London is that guy? It's been a couple of years for him, too. So, you know, they're going to give a lot of weapons for Kirk Cousins. You mentioned they already have some offensive linemen that are pretty productive and already signed there for the long haul. So, you know, Kirk Cousins is kind of like a mixed bag, because, you know, you're going to pay for a lot for a guy for one playoff win with the Vikings, or I think he went 0-2 with the Commanders or Washington, whatever they were called back then. So only one playoff in their career. But you had to pay for the guy because, again, the cycle from hell, they didn't have a quarterback. And sometimes you got to just go for what's best for you And Raheem Morris saw, I'm sure he saw what happened with Sean McVay. He got Matthew Stafford, a dropback quarterback. That helped out. He saw from afar, Arthur Smith couldn't make it work with Desmond Ridder, Marcus Mariota, an old Matt Ryan. So go get the quarterback and make it work. Again, it doesn't feel like a Super Bowl team to me, like just like I agree with you there. But to win a division and then maybe you make something happen where Raheem Morris is a good defensive-minded coach to kind of build, maybe get an edge rusher with that number 8 pick in the draft. You get more flexibility to do that. I want to see what Zach Robinson does as a play caller. Maybe they'll fix Kyle Pitts, but they are an exciting team, and I can't wait for people who play fantasy football to take a chance on Kyle Pitts because they have a new coach and a new quarterback.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think he gives them a really nice upgrade at the most important position in the sport. And you can't win anything without a top 15 quarterback in the league unless you are a really random team for like 1 year. Okay, that just isn't going to happen. And so you finally bring in a quarterback who, say whatever you want about Kirk Cousins, say whatever you want about the guy. He's a top 12 quarterback in the league when he's healthy, and he's going to go out there and he's going to make Drake London better. He's going to make Kyle Pitts better. He's going to lighten the box for Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Like those guys are going to get better. You know how many times watching the Falcons last year, Drake London was wide open and they couldn't get the guy the football? That happened all the time. That happened all the time. And so I think now you're to a juncture where you'll look at Atlanta and go, okay, listen, I'm with you, man. Like I just said, I don't think they'll win a Super Bowl at this group. But let Kirk Cousins be the starter for 2 years and then be a bridge to another guy. It's not great. It's not like, hey, we're going to go win the Super Bowl. But Patrick Mahomes wasn't available. I watched the Chiefs go from Matt Cassel and Brody Croyle and you name, I mean, every Chiefs fan right now is vomiting profusely all over themselves in the car, okay, to Alex Smith. And Alex Smith was never going to win the Super Bowl for them. They had some good years. They won a division, but they were never going to win a Super Bowl with him. In fact, they won two divisions with him. But he laid the groundwork and allowed them to get their house in order to then go trade up and draft Patrick Mahomes. Sometimes you got to have that guy. You know, Tyrod Taylor was that bridge in a lot of ways to Josh Allen. Sometimes you need that guy. So I think Kirk Cousins, I think it's a really good signing. Yes, it's a lot of money. Every decent quarterback is. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, you know, I like that plan. It's a good comparison with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. So maybe this is the phase that gets you to the playoffs. And when you get to the wild card or division round now, it's like, okay, we're stuck here. You don't do what the Cowboys do and kind of just say, let's run it back again. You try something else, you adjust, and maybe you find a quarterback. And who knows? Maybe Kirk Cousins goes on his magical run. Maybe that's tough to see at 35 and coming back from an Achilles injury. But again, I like the coaching staff. You know, I got familiar with them when they were with the Rams there. So we'll see what happens there. And I think they did pretty well with the free agent signings a year ago on the defensive side. I would like to see more, you know, maybe an edge rusher. But yeah, the teams that just plan ahead and just flexible and don't wait till the day comes, okay, we got to make a move here or whatever. Go draft. You see a guy you like at quarterback, go ahead and get him, trade up. So things like that. So you're in a position where you become a winning franchise and you're doing well. Why not? And then the Falcons have been very quiet. Somebody was telling me that covers the Falcons, like, you know, in Atlanta, it's like the Braves and the Hawks and nobody really cares about the Falcons. So maybe some excitement now.
Yeah. No, I would definitely agree. Let's move over to the AFC quickly. Look, everybody's chasing Kansas City. Obviously, they've been to four of the last five Super Bowls. The Chiefs have been very quiet in free agency in terms of bringing in other players. They brought back Chris Jones, 5 years, $160 million. They brought back Drew Tranquil. They brought back a couple other smaller guys like Deshaun Wharton, Mike Pinnell, some defensive tackle help there. But I want to look outside of the Chiefs in the AFC. Is there a team that you feel like has positioned themselves as the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC? If you're just looking at it, you're looking down the line, who do you feel right now is the biggest threat to them after we've seen the first 100 hours or so of free agency?
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm going to give you a good answer here, Matt, but I'm going to give you one that I think a lot of people are going to pick. But I'm just not convinced just yet. And I'll just say it. I think the Houston Texans are getting a lot of love right now. You know, obviously with C.J. Stroud and what D'Amico Ryan said a year ago. But then to get Danielle Hunter and then to get, Joe Mixon in a trade. That was actually an interesting scenario where Joe Mixon is about to get cut. And then, okay, here comes with a trade offer. So, you know, what they're doing there with the Texans, and I'll give them credit for going in on the rookie contract window and saying, all right, I'm not going to say they stumbled on it, but you know what? CJ Stroud's that guy. DeMeco Ryans, he's a star in the making at coach. So we got to maximize his rookie contract. And they went in for some veteran guys. And Danielle Hunter, I think right now, and if you kind of compare between Jonathan Greenard, Danielle Hunter is better. But over time, you know, we'll see how that contract goes. And it's not the worst contract. It's a two-year contract. And, you know, Joe Mixon coming in with Tank Dell and Nico Collins, I like it. But the teams that, you know, bet on the older guys this time of year, I don't know if they always pay off. Like, you know, I was trying to figure out which team has really won a Super Bowl by going in on free agency. And it's usually the ones that bet on a quarterback, Matthew Stafford, or that was a trade, or Tom Brady, that was a signing. But look at the Chiefs, look at the Patriots, usually building with the draft. So
yes.
if they keep doing that, I will like the Texans. So I'm not just there. I'm not there to put the Texans to say the list of teams that could beat the Chiefs. I'm not ready to put the Texans there just yet. But I feel like a lot of people are jumping the gun and saying, I like the Texans.
I think the Texans are in the conversation. I still think it's Cincinnati when Burrow's healthy. I still think that team is the biggest threat. Now, look, they brought in Zach Moss. They traded away Joe Mixon. So they kind of swap running backs here. I don't think that's a massive deal one way or the other. Tyler Boyd is a free agent. Ironically, there was a report out of Pittsburgh that he's in talks with the Steelers and the Chiefs, which would be interesting if he went to Kansas City. But the Bengals, you know, they've made a couple of moves. Like they brought back Von Bell at safety. They brought in Geno Stone, stealing him away from Baltimore. They brought in Sheldon Rankins at D-tackle. Now, they lost DJ Reader. So you could argue that's either even up, maybe a little bit of a downgrade, although Rankins is a good enough player. I'd say it's more of an even swap. Just kind of, he's more of a pass rusher, and Reader's more of that two-gap. You know, he's going to cause chaos in the run game kind of a player. You know, I still think the Bengals, because you got Chase, you still have Higgins at this point. Now, if they trade Higgins, then I think it's a different conversation. But for right now, I would go with them. They've still got a really good, you know, coaching staff and everything else, even after losing Callahan to the Titans. So I like the Bengals. But I'll tell you what, man, the Texans, to me, the Texans at this point are a bigger threat to Kansas City than Buffalo is. I just look at the Bills, and I think the Bills are, you know, look, they're still a threat. They have Josh Allen, but times are changing. Lost a lot of guys. The Dolphins got gutted in free agency. Which, by the way, actually, not to circle all the way back to the start here, but it's got to be said. Robert Hunt for $100 million to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is going to come off mean-spirited, because I'm not trying to knock Robert Hunt. Hey, man, go with God. You got $100 million, 63 guaranteed. God bless you. Okay? Everybody should be so fortunate. And he's earned it through hard work and everything else. At the same point, $100 million? He's never made a Pro Bowl. Like, they paid him like he's a Hall of Fame guard. So, look, I think the Dolphins lost a good player, but also at a hilarious price. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks he's worth that, except for apparently the Carolina Panthers. They think he's worth that. It's a real cluster in Carolina, let's put it that way. But Miami, they lose Van Ginkle. They lose Hunt. They lost Brandon Jones, one of their safeties. They had to cut Jerome Baker. He's gone. I know they brought in Jordan Brooks. They brought in Jordan Poyer. Poyer at this point is more name than he is production, I think. But they brought him in. But Miami lost a lot of pieces. A lot of pieces. They're going to have to figure that thing out. But yeah, I think Cincinnati's still the biggest threat to the Chiefs. I really love what Houston's done. I don't think you can discount Baltimore. Baltimore is still a really tough team. The problem the rest of the AFC is going to have with Kansas City is now with Jones and Tranquil back, that defense is still going to be really good. And we'll see what happens with Snead. But they have so many corners on that team, they could even survive if they trade them. And if they get anybody at receiver, like what is the hole? What is the thing you look at and go, oh, that's going to be the thing that holds them back? And that division is not good. The Chargers moving off Mike Williams, a lot of holes to fill there, and they're capped out. The Broncos have $85 million in dead money to split over the next 2 years. I'm going to go ahead and say that's a problem. And the Raiders have Gardner Minshew currently a quarterback. So that's the issue there. But let's look, lastly, before we get out of here, where do you like who is the biggest free agent out there at this point that you are interested to see where they go?
Let's see, Matt. Maybe you could refresh my memory because I haven't read your story. Top 10, right? Top 10 available for
you. Yeah,
right
so now. I'll take the lead. I'm fascinated to see the receiver market still being where it is. Hollywood Brown, Mike Williams, Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel. Those are good players. Like, those are meaningful players. Maybe not number one receivers. Well, I guess Williams, you could argue, like, his best year he could be. But those are all guys that have questions. Boyd with his age. Williams with somewhat of age, but injuries. Curtis Samuel has been productive, but not wildly so in the last couple of years. Is that because he didn't have the quarterback play, or is it just kind of like he's just a, you know, a number two to three receiver, and that's what he is? And then, of course, there's like, does Ayuk get traded? Does Higgins get traded? So yeah. I am still very fascinated to see where these receivers land, as a lot of that market is still yet to be determined.
I wonder if the 49ers actually try to trade Deebo Samuel and keep Brandon Ayuk, because I think it's gotten to the point where I think Ayuk is a better one, but that's more on the trade side. But, you know, I'll give you two names here. I'm interested to see what happens with Tyron Smith, the left tackle of the Cowboys, you know, probably, might be formerly of the Cowboys. And, you know, he was the top left tackle in the market, but age and injury have been a problem. But I think for him, having a loaded draft class of tackles coming up in April might be affecting his market. Maybe he has to kind of figure out, okay, what do I want to do here? Do I take a pay cut? Do I wait till after teams get their tackle and then go from there? And it's funny, I forgot who brought it up, but like, I guess the franchise tag, when it comes to tackles and guards, is the same money. So people don't want to tag the guards, so they all make the open market, and people start splurging for them. And, you know, with tackles, obviously, you see more in the draft. So, you know, being here in LA, I'm keeping a close eye on the Rams, and I like what the Rams did with Jonah Jackson, you know, and re-signing Kevin Dotson. So they're building the trenches. How about maybe get Tyron Smith for a year and play left tackle? I don't think Alaric Jackson's the answer there. On the right side, Rob Havenstein's getting older, so you know, I would like to see them taking a chance there. But they might even draft one. And then more on the LA front, I would like to see the Panthers signing Mike Williams. Like, yeah, Deontay Johnson is a nice addition. But to get a physical big receiver for jump balls, we're like, hey, it's kind of chaotic out here. Just say YOLO and throw it down the field. Mike Williams is pretty clutch in the fourth quarter. So right now, Adam Thielen, Jonathan Mingo, and Deontay Johnson is kind of like, eh, I don't really care about that trio. You bring in Mike Williams, Dave Canales being the play caller. Now you got something going there, because it's been kind of a rough free agency for the Panthers, who finally gave up on Brian Burns, but said, you know what? We don't want two first-round picks. That second rounder, we'll take that instead. So a lot of head-scratching moves there. So Mike Williams and Tyron Smith are kind of on the top of my mind right now.
The Panthers are a tire fire. Like, you reportedly got offered two first-round picks. Two first-round picks a year ago. And we're like, that's all right, we're good. And then turned around, traded him for a second and a fifth. Like, I just, and then $150 million for two guards, neither one of which has ever made a Pro Bowl. Like, it's just, I'm sorry. I love, by the way, what the Rams did. Jonah Jackson is actually a star guard. And they had for half the price of Robert Hunt. I'd like to see the Rams shore up the secondary a little bit, but I love what they've done. I think the Rams, quality offseason, good offseason, and did it without, like, blowing up their cap situation. They brought in, Colby Parkinson, the tight end there.
Yeah.
Brought him in. Yeah, he's one of those guys, like, he'll kind of bridge it while Higbee's out, and then he can be that second tight end. So that's a nice piece. Not crazy money. All right, on a side note, March Madness coming up. Do you care about March Madness, or do you absolutely not care at all about March Madness? We haven't talked about this.
Yeah, so I'm the type of March Madness fan who only cares when the I guess conference tournament week is going on, which is right now. Yep. So I only care about that. But this year I care a little extra, Matt, because finally my team that I went to out here, or my school that I went to, Cal State Northridge, here in outside of the LA area, the Valley. So Cal State Northridge. So they made some history yesterday. They're playing in the first round of the Big West tournament. I think they're like the 7 seed, 6 versus 7 game. It's 8:30 p.m. on the West Coast, 11:30 on the East Coast, and they won in overtime against UC Santa Barbara. Their first Big West tournament win in 10 years. Not even like a real tournament, NCAA. It's in the conference tournament. They finally won a game in 10 years. So I was pretty excited about that. Maybe I don't see them winning tonight after playing overtime with such a thin team. But hey, maybe they'll make a run and get to the dance, and I'll be pretty excited about that. It hasn't happened since 2009. Yeah, 2009 for the Matadors.
Well, I am very much a casual college basketball fan. I love the NBA. I'm a Knicks fan. Now I can actually say that without wanting to be physically ill. But I went to a D3 school, you know, Oswego up in New York, SUNY Oswego. But I've always been a St. John's fan. And I always love the Big East. Like, I'm one of those, like, I'm from New York, so, like, if the Big East is involved, like, I'm usually rooting for the Big East in the tournament. Like, if, you know, UConn or Nova, whoever, like, unless obviously they're playing St. John's, I root for them. And then the whole damn conference got completely bastardized when everything happened and everybody was moving all over. And I still hate that Syracuse left. Syracuse, as far as I'm concerned, is dead to me for all kinds of reasons. But now, like, the conference has actually rebounded, and you've got some really good teams, and it's you know, I mean, look, it's weird having Creighton from Omaha in there, but, like, to Creighton's credit, at least they're good, and you have Xavier. Point is, right now as we're recording this, I've got the St. John Seton Hall game on next to me, and I'm watching it. St. John's is up 85-72 with a buck 10 left, so it's looking like they're going to win, and that would punch their ticket, because if they win this game, they were somewhat on the bubble, now they're going to be off the bubble, they're going to get in. They have been atrocious for 20 years. Would you know how hard it is to be atrocious in college basketball and you play at Madison Square Garden in New York City? I mean, you're a major conference team. You could walk down to Rucker Park and recruit the best five guys there and probably win a national title. And St. John's has been able to do nothing for 20 years. And now they hired Rick Pitino, who, I'm going to say charitably, I'm not the biggest fan of every off-court decision that Rick Pitino's ever made. But as a fan of the team, finally winning something. So about to improve to 20-12. I love the tournament every year. You know, I'm one of those people, I could name like five guys in the whole tournament, but like I just sit down and I watch it. And then by the end of the tournament, I know everybody's name. And I'm like, man, next year I'm going to get really into it. And then I completely fail to. But because St. John's is finally good, I actually think this might be where I get over the hump a little bit here. You know, I follow them closely. I keep my tabs on them throughout the year. I know what's going on with them every night. But in any event, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I love March Madness. My favorite two sports days of the year are the opening Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
16 games each. Oh, it's just awesome. I live for like when like Morgan State upsets Duke and it's just pandemonium. You know, like when C.J. McCollum was on Lehigh and they beat Duke, or you had like, what, UMBC beat Virginia in that 16-1 game. I love that stuff, man. Because you get all those small school kids who have been there for 4 or 5 years, especially when they beat a school like Kentucky where everybody's just a one-year guy. They're going to leave. They're just in it to get in and out. Those are my favorite moments when those kids can get a win like that. Because, yeah, they're not going to win the tournament, but they'll remember that stuff forever. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I love the upsets. But, like, that's how I get in trouble when I make my bracket, Matt. Like, you know, I want to see too many upsets, so I think I do too many. So I think my thing is pick 4 or 5, and then by the time we get to the Elite Eight, it's like all the top teams get their Final Four. But, hey, you never know. Sometimes a couple of small schools get to the Final Four. So I think last year was actually kind of a random one. But I remember San Diego State made it, so that was interesting. But, yeah, and some years also, Matt, I hate when the free agency and the NCAA tournament are the same week. I hate that. This week it feels like the tournament's a little, maybe 1 week later than usual, so it's been perfect.
Yeah, by the way, I appreciate the fact. This is one thing that basketball kills me. St. John's up 15 points with 56 seconds left, and Seton Hall just fouled him. Guys, it's over.
Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah.
Like, I think we can safely just run the clock out now and move forward. It's actually a bucket list of mine, or thing of mine. I want to go to a Big East tournament at the Garden. So maybe next year I'll do it. Because, like, you go, you can just sit there and, like, you can watch. I mean, you got to get tickets for it, obviously. But you can, all day long, right? I mean, I've always thought it'd be cool to go to, like, an NCAA tournament, like, one of those first couple days and go see, like, four games. But then I'm like, yeah, but a lot of the schools are from, like, way out of the way of where they're playing, and it's not really a big crowd. Like, going to the Big East tournament's crazy. Because all those schools are right there. So it's a lot of fun. That being said, that's it. That's all we've got for you this week. Free agency's been nuts. A lot of movement and shaking. There's going to be a little bit more here to come. And then we're going to start looking toward the draft. Because the draft is somehow only like 6 weeks away. So a lot to get to. But... listen, until then, for Gilberto Manzano, I am Matt Verderam. Thank you so much for listening. Please go and rate the podcast. Subscribe to it if you haven't already. Leave a comment. Leave a review. We'd really appreciate it. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.